1360. The Padres game is over.
Darn, that's the end.
That's why we're here. This is the wrap-up show on Extra 1360. Get all the highlights, opinions, and analysis from the action on the diamond. Hear from Chase Tingler, the players, and you. The wrap-up show starts now.
The Padres take the opener of a four-game series in Miami from the Marlins 3-2, and they do so behind an unlikely hero tonight. Blake Snell, who has struggled mightily on the road this year, pitched very well tonight, working into a seventh inning as the Padres hold on and take game one from the Fish. The wrap-up show, we will be with you for the next hour. 844-570-1360 is our phone number. Call us, 844-570-1360. Text line, we'll get to all of the texts as we always do, 70470, start them with XTRA. Again, the text line, 70470, start your message with XTRA. You can tweet us, at John Schaefer, J-O-N-S-C-H-A-E-F-F-E-R. Again, at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD, at Jim Russell SD. Jim, this was not pretty. The Marlins rallied back into this game against the bullpen and Austin Adams. San Diego was 2-for-13 with men in scoring position and left 14 men on base, but a win is a win, and the Padres win game one of the series. They're 4-2 on the trip.
And you started the show off by saying unlikely hero Blake Snell, which is true, but it's also like not a good thing to be saying that, how he's an unlikely hero tonight. Tonight was one of his best starts of the year, considering it was on the road. It's his first road win in over a year. Ironically enough, his last road win was in Miami last year. So, I mean, time is a flat circle. And his last road was in Miami. His first road win of this year was in Miami. He pitched great. You know, the bullpen there was extremely shaky. Austin Adams did not have it tonight. Emilio Pagan did get out of the mess that Austin Adams created. Tim Hill, one-pitch wonder. Melanson, a perfect ninth. All in all, they got the win. That's the most important thing. There were things in the game that were not good. The Austin Adams thing, not good. But he's been pretty reliable most of the season, so it's hard to talk too much about him tonight. I would just chalk that up as to just a bad night for him. And then the leaving runners in scoring position could have turned into a brutal mistake for the Padres. It ended up that it didn't. They won the game, and that's the most important thing. But you had a situation there, I believe it was in the seventh inning.
Top of the eighth.
And you have runners on second and third with no outs, and you don't score a run there.
Oh, not only runners on second and third with nobody out, but the double by Myers with Profar at first, he would have scored easily on the double. He was held up with nobody out. The relay throw was awful. It was never cut off. It just kind of...
I don't understand why he wasn't sent there.
Even if it's a perfect relay, by the way, he would have scored easily. I mean, this ball gets all the way to the wall in a spacious yard. It's one of the biggest ballparks in the country. Profar was off the second the ball was hit because he knew it was a gapper. He easily would have scored. But to your point, it didn't come back to hurt him. I mean, if they lose this game tonight 4-3, that's all we're talking about for the next hour. Well, what on earth happened in that top of the eighth inning, and how did they waste all of the walks? I mean, they drew a million walks tonight, but they only scored three runs, and they manufactured all the runs, right? Sack flies and a ground ball out. That's how they scored three runs. There was a single.
First run of the game was a sack fly. The next run was a single by Profar, and then you had a sack fly by, I believe, Machado. But the not sending Profar, I think that's just a learning moment for Bobby Dickerson. Like, he's been very... I would say he's not aggressive when it comes to sending runners.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There haven't been tons of close plays.
No, he's very timid when it comes to that situation. And look, that's probably by design as far as like a coaching staff goes, where they don't want to... Like, they're already extremely aggressive on the base pass to start with, but maybe sending runners that could become close plays at home, you don't want to do that too often because, you know, that could turn out to be... detrimental to those games by having runners being thrown out time and time again at home plate. You rather have a situation where the bases are always loaded and you put a lot of pressure on the pitcher.
Right? Yeah, I would agree with that. And here's the thing. There's a difference between leading 3-2 and trailing 3-2.
True.
If you don't send the runner trailing there,
that
would be
a huge mistake.
That would be a huge error. And of course, you end up losing the game then by a run. But you had the lead. So what's the worst thing that comes out of the inning? You still have the lead. And they had three chances, by the way, with second and third, nobody out, and they didn't score.
Right, so not somebody a good at bat by Grisham. Tatis.
Yeah, Tatis struck out on a check swing on a pitch that was away. It didn't look like he went around. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of really good things, by the way, out of this bullpen tonight. Mark Melancon, who had been a bit shaky, has now gone back-to-back, three up and three down saves. He picked up his 29th save. You mentioned Tim Hill getting that out there at the end of the eighth inning. And then Blake Snell, who again, you know, you just don't know what to expect when he's pitching on the road. And by the way, it didn't start great, Jim. I mean, he walks a batter in the first inning, labors through the frame. He walks a batter in the second inning. There were two on, I think one out, gets a ground ball double play. I think he walked three batters in the first four innings. But he ends up being pretty efficient because he's been a guy that has been forced to throw so many pitches per inning this year. That wasn't the case here today. Six-plus innings, he goes into the seventh inning, allows a leadoff single. That's when he's yanked, and that's when Austin Adams ran into some trouble. But six innings, 92 pitches, that's 15 pitches per inning. You just don't know with Snell. It's like, can you follow this up? It's the same thing with Paddock. It's like Paddock has had good moments. Snell has had good moments. If Snell can follow this up with another good road outing, it's like we've seen him pitch well at home. Next time we'll see him, by the way, we'll be at home, which I think is probably a good thing. We need to see more of this. We just need to see more of the good Blake Snell, and hopefully that continues in the second half, right?
First off, before we get to Blake Snell, I just want to say, screw this four-hour game nonsense, nine-inning BS.
Every single night.
Like, come on. 4 hours for a 3-2, nine-inning game? It's a joke. But back to Blake Snell. For him and Chris Paddock, it's one of those things where it's game to game. You don't know what you're going to get from either of those guys from game to game. You can get outings like you did from Paddock and Snell the last two outings that you saw them pitch, or you could get outings where they don't make it through the third inning. They're just not reliable. And until Blake Snell and Chris Paddock can sustain this for longer than like two starts in a row, like it's hard to just rely on those guys and say when they're on the mound, you expect to get this type of performance from them. Until they can do it consistently, it's hard to trust those guys. It really is. And tonight, great outing from him. One of the best of his season. I would put it up there with his game he had at home against the Mets, where he went seven innings, struck out 11, I think, walked only one, gave up no runs. But tonight, being on the road, where he has been atrocious all year long, to do what he did tonight, that was extremely impressive. Good for him. Now the question is, can he back it up? Can he do it again on the road?
No, you're right. And by the way, the Marlins aren't the 27 Yankees, but guess what? The wins count. And the Dodgers were there 2 weeks ago, and they lost 3 of 4 to the Fish. So can the Padres win 3 of 4 in this series? We should note that Fernando Tatis Jr., who in this game did not have a base hit, but he did draw a walk in this game. Let's see. Tatis tonight, 0-for-4 with a walk. He did strike out 3 times in this game, but Tatis tonight becomes the fastest ever in the history of baseball to 50 career stolen bases and 50 career home runs. He does it in 223 career games. So in his 223rd game, he reaches that 50 steal number. He had already reached 50 home runs. No one, Jim, ever in the history of the game has ever done it in fewer games. It is a remarkable accomplishment. We've said it throughout the course of his career. He does things that no one else we don't believe is capable of really doing, and he's proving that out over the course now of his third season in the big leagues, his third year, but only his 223rd career game. But what a career it's been so far.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, would you keep him?
I would think about keeping him long-term.
He's in your untouchable column this week if you're AJ Preller?
Yeah, I mean, I have to think about that for a second there, but I don't think I would put him in any trade discussions.
Mm.
Yeah.
What if you could get Zach Davies?
Ooh. Yeah, probably not. Probably not. I'm still keeping Fernando.
So it's one of those games, again, where Tatis, you know, the strikeouts we talked about, he had some opportunities with men in scoring position, but he's always able to change a game. He scores a run. He leads the National League in runs scored. He's missed 19 games this year. He steals a base. He's 23rd. He's pacing right for 40-40.
Like, I saw AC tweet out tonight. He's on pace for 47 homers and 38 stolen bases.
Yeah, and I wonder if that pace is accurate with the steals because he missed the 19 games. So, maybe. You know what I mean? I think he's actually on pace for more than 38 steals is my point.
All I know is that if he gets the 40 home runs, which he is on pace for that right
then
now.
Then you steal every single time you're on
he's
base.
He's going to, the last like 3 weeks of the season, every time he's on base, he's going to try to steal. Yeah. Like, it's going to be, there is Fernando, another stolen base. How many stolen base attempts tonight? Four? Okay.
40-40 in today's baseball, by the way, when nobody runs, other than the Padres, like nobody in the sport runs.
Yeah, when's the last time?
There's teams that are going to have 40 stolen bases.
When's the last time a 40-40 happened? Was it
like A-Rod? Alfonso Soriano?
Oh, Alfonso, been, yeah. I think he had like 47 homers and 41 RBIs.
I mean, it's not a big list.
41 stolen bases, excuse me.
It's not a big list, as we know. I think we've mentioned it before. Can we pull this up real quick? The 40-40 club in Major League Baseball's history is a very small
like
list.
People,
it is
right?
Soriano in 06. 46 and 41, yeah. Home runs to stolen bases. A-Rod in 98, 42 homers, 46 steals. Barry Bonds in 1996 with the Giants, 42 home runs and 40 steals. Jose Canseco in 1988, it's an amazing accomplishment. What? How on earth did that happen? 42 home runs and 40 steals. Here's what's interesting. Nobody's ever combined for more than 87 homers and steals in the 40-40 club. He could do that because he could homer 50 times this year. You know, he really could, and he could steal more than 40 bases this year, too. But he's trying to do something that's only been done four times in the history of the sport and hasn't been done in 15 years. And he missed 19 games this year. That tells you a little bit about Tatis.
He's just a one-of-one type of player. That's how I would best describe him. If anybody asked me, like, oh, how would you describe Fernando Tatis Jr. without saying he's, like, amazing or great or you know, any adjective you could think about him, I would say he's one-of-one. And when you can describe someone as one of one, that's pretty special.
No, there's no question about it. And the fact that he's locked up, you know, you don't have to worry. There's a lot of players in baseball that aren't
so
locked
good.
Up.
So great to not just even worry about
exactly.
him going anywhere.
Because guys leave. I mean, Barry Bonds left Pittsburgh. I mean, right. We know guys leave. A-Rod left Seattle.
Like something could happen. It's, yeah, I mean, it's
you're
life.
Right. Ken
it's
Griffey
baseball.
Left Seattle.
Right. But right now, the fan base... And this ownership group and, you know, players and Fernando don't have to worry about that. There's You're no right. worry in the world. And it's an awesome feeling to have if you're a fan of this team.
Is Jerkson Profar heating up? You know, two more hits here tonight. He's still only hitting .239. His OPS is .660. But it feels like he's been a player that's been pretty productive here over the course of the month of July, which is great news. Really good news. They could use it with their bench. They could use it in their starting lineup.
We got Austin Nola back today. That's a bat that is an addition to this lineup. And hasn't played since May.
And I thought his pitch framing was really good.
Yeah, and he's going to get split time behind the plate with Caratini.
Mm-hmm.
You might see him out there at first base a little more, especially if his bat heats up. I know he had a couple walks tonight.
He did.
No hits. But if you get, you got Nola back. If you can get Profar to heat up a little bit, if you can get Hosmer to continue his month for like the rest of the season, Will Myers had a huge double tonight. Those four guys right there, or no, we have four guys. Yeah, Nola, Profar, Hosmer, and Myers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You get those guys to produce consistently, not like every night. Like one of those guys might not do anything that one night, but if another guy does and steps up, that right there is going to ease the mind of AJ Preller to go out and make a splash move for another bat because you have four guys right there who are kind of like additions to your lineup because they haven't really done a lot this season that you could look back on. Like Hosmer's heated up. Myers has had an okay season. I wouldn't consider it to be a good season yet. He's had an okay season.
Yeah, it's been an okay year. It's been an average year, maybe slightly above average at this point.
Profar, he's not had a great season, right. But as of late, he's doing better. And then Austin Nola, we don't know what we're going to get from him, but he's an addition. He's a veteran bat that hopefully you can rely on.
So when you say splashy move, you're talking about potentially like a Joey Gallo, like someone that you plug right into your lineup. The only question I would have, and by the way, I'm on board with Joey Gallo. I think he helps your on-base percentage. He helps your OPS, right? Because he slugs. I know he strikes out a lot. And I know he's not going to hit for average. But what do you do with him? I mean, then you put him in a platoon situation with Hosmer at first, and then you play him out in the outfield and you give a Hosmer or a Profar a blow. I guess you play him probably five out of every 7 days where you're mixing and matching him with first base, outfield, and maybe DH if you're taking on an American League team. But yeah, does he make your lineup more feared and deeper? Yeah, he does. It's not my first priority. It's not your first priority probably at this point. It has to be starting pitching. And it will be starting pitching. The good news is they're getting Ryan Weathers back. this weekend,
which is, I feel like it's not a miracle, but to think that Ryan Weathers was going to pitch again this season after what we saw him leave the field with being carried off.
Was that the Sunday of the All-Star break?
It was
like the worst omen going into the break. Like, oh, you just lost one of your starters for the year.
Right.
Like, you're losing to the Rockies, by the way. You're going to lose a series.
You lost two or three to the Rockies. And that to me, could have been an absolute disaster. And like looks like right now, he's only going to miss a couple starts and then pitch this weekend, which is
fine because
crazy.
He's on the innings limit anyway.
Exactly.
So if he misses 2 weeks and he doesn't pitch 10 or 12 innings, that's all right because you could use him in August and September.
I'd rather have him not pitch for like a couple weeks than go waste innings down in the minors.
Yeah.
Like that to me will never make sense. And nobody in the Padres organization will ever be able to explain that to me or I feel like anybody properly for why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You don't have him pitch for a couple weeks. You save his arm because of the innings limit. I'm cool with that. So, yeah, it's a good thing that we're going to see Ryan Weathers this weekend.
Let's think about the rotation for a moment because Darvish is back healthy, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We know Joe Musgrove has been very effective, although not as recently, not as much so in July as he was in the first 3 months of the year.
Right.
Ryan Weathers, like you said, is back. Blake Snell tonight was very good. We know he's been up and down. Chris Paddock has been up and down. And then you have Denelson Lamet. And the question becomes, when Lamet returns, is he out of your bullpen or not? But as it stands, it's like you've got enough, but you're super thin and you got question marks, right? Like you've got enough, but you got big question marks. And if anyone goes down, you're in a massive hole. Mm-hmm. So that's why, at the very least, you're adding one piece to your rotation, I would think, at some point in the next 7 or 8 days. And you could make an argument that you should add two. And if you don't need two, you put one of them in your bullpen. But I think we all agree, we've talked in circles around this, even with the 5 or 6 starters you have right now, you just don't know. Because Weathers, Lamet, Darvish, they've all had health issues this year.
For me, the one guy I just can't trust even to get out there is Denelson Lamet. Like, I just don't see it. Bullpen arm, yeah, if you can have him at the end of the year, get some outs in a couple games, and possibly for the postseason to be some type of weapon, that's great. But I don't know if you can rely on Denelson Lamet for any type of big moment the rest of the year. And yeah, it's a very, very, very thin starting rotation right now. You have one other guy go down again. You are in need of another pitcher. And you can't rely on Reese Kinnear.
Nope, you can't
or
rely
Daniel Camarena.
Or Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gore. You got really nothing that you could bring up. So that's why Ryan Weathers, his injury and how it's not a season ender, and he's going to come back and pitch. That's huge.
It's a big shot in the arm. It is.
Yes.
You know, Matt Strom is, you know, hopefully you get him back. I don't know if he's starting games for you. We've seen him be an opener before. Listen, I'm very confident, and you are too, Jim, that AJ Preller is adding to his rotation in the next 8 days. I'm very confident of that. I think he probably adds a bullpen piece as well. We saw a huge deal today. The Rays pulled off to get Nelson Cruz, a slugger, you know, maybe the best available hitter on the market. So it's picking up is my point. We're 8 days out.
Yeah.
It's picked up. You've got till next Friday. That's it. We've got 1 week to go. So I don't know when it picks up for Preller and the Padres or the Dodgers and the Giants, but next week, it's on. You're going to see moves.
He's made calls. Like,
you think he's been on the phone?
He's made calls. There's things in the works. I don't know exactly what things are in the works, but I would guarantee that there are things on the table that he is trying to get done.
Good bounce back inning, by the way, for Emilio Pagan.
Yes, very big, especially after what happened in
DC,
yes, Washington, when they had a 2-run lead,
gave
and
up
he
two
just
homers,
imploded.
Yeah,
so,
Soto homer,
and then another home run to Escobar, which was just random.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, big bounce back for Emilio Pagan. He's not a guy that I would put in the pecking order above Pomeranz. I don't know why we didn't say Pomeranz tonight. It was because he pitched yesterday.
He pitched yesterday, allowed 2 runs.
That's right.
You know, and he's been off the IL and on the IL. He doesn't look like the pitcher that he's capable of being or that we've seen him be over parts of the last 2 years.
They have question marks in the bullpen, too.
Yeah.
No, they have question marks up and down this rotation and in the bullpen.
Question marks after wins, though. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's
good.
A good thing.
Yeah. And I'd be shocked if Preller doesn't make a move to bolster the starting rotation and the bullpen.
You said this trip, like, you got to go 6-4. Now, they lost a game. They'll make that up somewhere along the way. It'll be in San Diego, by the way. I'm 99.9% sure.
It's got to be.
They would never play the game in Atlanta. You can't even open the gates. You can't sell tickets to
two innings?
For two innings.
I would fight so hard if I was the Padres to make sure
there's no scenario. There's no scenario in hell where that's going to happen, but... you lost that game, so you're 4-2 on the trip. You have three left. If you go 2-1 from here on out, you're 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, even if you go 1-2, and it's not ideal, you had a 5-4 trip. There are worse trips than that, 10-game trips.
Yeah.
You know, all the way out east, where you didn't have a lot of starting pitching, and you had question marks. You get Nola back. If you take 2 of 3 this weekend in Miami, that is a damn good trip. 6-3 trip, heading home. You'll be within 4 games or so of that division lead. The loser tonight of the Giants-Dodgers game. We'll lose a game to the Padres based on what happened here tonight. You could pull it within 4.5 of the Giants if they lose. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, again, you're not in first place, but you're within arm's reach. And it could have been the opposite of that. I mean, if you went 3-6 on this trip as opposed to 6-3, you could have been, you know, 6, 7, 8 games out, like we've talked about.
Yeah, the road trip, the start, the second half, we talked about it. This was not a make-or-break road trip for making the postseason, but I felt like it was a make-or-break road trip for the division. You have a 4-6 road trip or anything like that, and you're looking at 7, 8 games out of first place of the division, then maybe the mindset of the trade deadline changes a little bit. Now you come out of this road trip 3.5, 4.5 out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we're in a good spot here after a tough 10-game road trip coming out of the break. Most teams don't survive that. Most teams, they'd be in a situation where 10-game road trip kind of coming out of the break, they could start slow, maybe pick it up middle way, and then, you know, tail off towards the end. But they started off hot to start this road trip, scoring 24 runs against Washington. They had a couple letdowns there, and then they won tonight. They won the first game of the doubleheader yesterday. It's to be determined if they're going to win the second game of that doubleheader later on this year. So you could, have a 6-3 road trip that counts right now, and later in the season it turns into a 7-3
road trip. 6-4.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that game is still out there in the ether, by the way. It's not official.
And they're leading that game, so.
Which is good. You'd rather be in their spot. And by the way, the bullpen issues you had on that random rainy night in Atlanta, you no longer have when you play them in September, presumably. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, in the seventh inning, you could throw whomever, Drew Pomeranz, in that seventh inning where he wasn't going to be available on that rainy Atlanta night. So hopefully you put yourself in a position
or
where
if they made
a
trade
game
for, like, Craig Kimbrell, you know, like, you could have him in that game.
You could have, like, who could you have pitching in that spot? You could go Melanson and Kimbrell and Pomeranz and Hill, you know, I mean,
or whatever relievers that they get at the trade deadline, you know, like, whatever pieces that AJ Preller goes out and gets will most likely be available for that extra 2 innings that they'll have to play in the later part of the season.
And by the way, Blake Snell going 6 tonight, first Padres starter to go 6 since July 3rd. And he does it here on July 22nd. All right, we'll take a timeout. We will hear from Jace Tingler. We will read your text, your reaction to tonight's win, and your thoughts now a week in front of the deadline. What do these Padres need to do to make a run at the top of the NL West? We know they're making a run for the postseason. Can they make a run for this division? What do they need to do that? 70470, that's where you text. Start your message with XTRA. Padres over the Marlins in Miami, opening up a 4-game series. They win it 3-2. We'll hear from Jace Tingler. We'll read your text. It's the wrap.
SDCCU.com/donate. It's now time for the Plant Power Play of the Game. Download Plant Power Fast Foods Rewards app, and you'll get a free shake just for signing up.
Flared to center, and that's going to get in for a base hit. From second base comes Pham. Here comes the throw. He'll score. Throw is up the third base line, and the Padres take a 2-0 lead.
Plant Power Fast Food Play of the Day. Padres over the Marlins tonight, 3-2 in Miami. Jim, you were over at Plant Power earlier today picking up some food.
I downloaded the app. It's my first time going there with the app downloaded. I got a free shake, got a chocolate shake. Delicious. I also got a chicken sandwich with a honey mustard sauce on it, tomatoes, greens. Delicious. And I also picked up food for the entire station. So.
You did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I had a shake, cookies and cream shake. It was awesome. You need to get over there. If you haven't been there, you can take out your phone right now, download the Plant Power Fast Food Rewards app, and then head over to the three area locations. At any point this weekend, you'll get a free milkshake just for signing up with the app. Order online anytime, plantpowerfastfood.com. That's plantpowerfastfood.com. Taste the future of fast food today at Plant Power Fast Food. They're 100% plant-based, eco-friendly restaurant with a menu that is just unbelievable. If you haven't had it, you need to check it out. And it's good for you. It's good for the environment as well. All right. Padres over the Marlins 3-2. We want to hear from you. Our text line is open. 70470. Start your message with XTRA. Again, 70470. Start your message with XTRA. But first, let's hear from Jace Tingler. We have that? Tingler postgame? Padres over the Marlins in game one. They're 4-2 on this trip. Here's Tingler.
I think the start of the third inning really started to click for him. I thought the way he was able to get ahead, he was on the attack all night. And, you know, from the third inning on, I just thought he was really dialed in. He kept repeating. They had a long run of righties. And I thought, him being able to establish that arm side fastball and getting ahead and then working everything else off of that. But I think just the amount of strikes he threw, you know, especially in the third, fourth, and fifth, and was in a really good role. And I should say group, and just absolutely great to see. And I think it's one that he's capable of really building on and repeating.
Did it seem like it was the slider that helped him out in those first few innings until he started getting the fastball command down? And then he was started to drop the curveball in as well those last few innings to go with the fastball.
Yeah, I think so. And when he's able to kind of hit that lane with the fastball, the slider and curveball play really well off of it. So I think they went hand in hand. And then, you know, like I said, he just had a great ability to repeat tonight and just stayed locked in mentally, did a great job and stayed on the attack all night.
Do you know if there's anything different that he'd been working on in his bullpen the last week or anything that sort of helped him find that groove tonight, or it was just time and it clicked in finally?
You know, his bullpens have been pretty good. I think it's just a matter of just kind of taking some of that into the game with the adrenaline and everything going on. And he picked us up huge tonight.
14 guys left on base. Obviously, that's not how you plan it, but you did manufacture the runs that you needed. Your thoughts on the offense tonight?
Yeah, I thought, we grinded out some at bats, which was good to see. We didn't execute as well as we needed with those runners in scoring position, maybe a little bit more late. But we knew coming in, the Marlins situation with it was probably going to be a bullpen day. Sometimes those can be a little bit challenging. But I thought we did a really good job of battling, staying in the zone. And, it's right now, like, you know, with the Marlins, some of their top end guys are out, but they've done a great job. We knew it coming in. It seems like they get, these arms from everywhere across the board, and they've got a deep system of quality arms. And so we knew it was going to be a challenge. We knew it was going to be a grind, and that's what we're expecting the next couple of days as well.
How good was it to have Austin Nola back in your lineup, back behind the dish, and how'd you think he looked tonight?
I thought he looked great. I thought his at-bats were great. I think he had, two walks early in the game. And I thought that ball he hit late, off the bat, I thought it was going to get over Duvall's head. I thought it jumped off the bat, and Duvall had a good jump on it and was able to run it down. And then defensively, he just picked right up or off of, where like he was in mid-season form. I thought him and Blake had a great dynamic tonight. He handled the bullpen guys well, and him and Melanson were in a groove there late. And I do want to say, the job of Pagan and Hill tonight, and obviously, Adams has been as good as anybody down there for us tonight. It was just one of those nights. Just didn't have the command on the slider, but he'd been so good for us. So it was nice to see everyone just kind of pick everybody up tonight.
Thank you, Jason.
All right, so that's the manager of the Padres postgame, Jace Tingler. Before we get to the text, a little bit of breaking news this evening from Ken Rosenthal, who writes at The Athletic.
Did the Padres make a trade?
No, they have not, but they are serious. We should really talk about this, Jim, because the Padres, according to Rosenthal, were serious suitors for Nelson Cruz, which shocks me because he doesn't play a position. He's been a DH for years. He hasn't played in the field, in fact, since 2018. But you know what he does do, Jim? Which tells you what the Padres are looking for? He mashes left-handed pitching. He kills left-handed pitching. You know what Joey Gallo does as a left-handed batter? He kills left-handed pitching. His splits are even, Gallo. He hits righties like he hits lefties, which is impressive for a left-handed hitter, right, against left-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. So what does this tell me tonight? If you're looking at a slugger or a bopper like Nelson Cruz, to your point, they're not looking for a bench piece.
They're looking for a big bat.
They're looking for a bat that hits left-handed pitching.
Right.
I really believe that. And Joey Gallo fits that bill, but as opposed to maybe putting all of their, like, fish in the Gallo pond, you know what I mean? Because if it's only Cruz or Gallo, then you want to make a run at Cruz. And they were really serious about it. Let me read this real quick. Let's see. The Padres, while not the only NL team to express interest in Cruz, made the most serious push of those clubs, according to an official with knowledge of the discussions. Apparently, the multiple Padres players reached out to Cruz to relay the team's interest in the past week. So this went all the way from the front office.
Well, they were at the All-Star clubhouse. Game together. So who was at the All-Star game with Nelson Cruz, and who was seen talking to them? Machado, Tatis, and Nelson Cruz.
How about that? So Padre players reached out to Cruz to relay the team's interest, and Padres officials had inquired about Cruz's past practice of taking grounders at first and second base.
Wait,
you're not
what?
Nelson Cruz at second base, right?
No, you're not going to put Nelson Cruz anywhere.
Well, you're going to have to put him somewhere if you're in the National League this year. How about that? They were so enamored by his bat, right? I mean, this guy's a hitter. What do I always say about these guys? He's a professional hitter. They're so enamored by his bat, they were willing to deal with the deficiencies defensively. He has not played in the field since 2018. AJ Preller is seriously looking for enhancing his corners, whether that's first, right field. He wants to get someone in there that's going to play a lot. Because Nelson Cruz is not a guy that's going to play every fifth day. He's going to play 6 out of every 7 days or 5 out of every 7 days. You want someone, again, that's going to hit left and right-handed pitching, and Cruz has really hit left-handed pitching. I think it's a great pickup for the Rays because they do have the DH.
Yeah.
And I think Joey Gallo would probably be a better fit because of his ability to play multiple positions defensively, right, Jim?
Right. And Joey Gallo, you could put in right. You could put it first. He'd be a massive bat coming off the bench. Another guy that I think and I hope that AJ Preller's looking at, if they were looking at Nelson Cruz like it's being reported as a guy who mashes left-handers and potentially could play a different, couple positions, this guy I think would be perfect for this team. Jonathan Scope. He is, I believe, the guy, like him and Joey Gallo would be the dream trades for pieces that, in the position player wise. Jonathan Scope, left-handed hit off of lefties this year, it's in 330.
Got his OPS?
With a OPS of 960.
Yeah, that's the number you're looking for. 900 plus OPS against left-handed pitching.
And he is a 100% rental, so you would think he's not going to cost a lot. Tigers, they're in the midst of...
They're playing great baseball for whatever reason right now.
8-game winning streak, I think it is.
Yeah.
And they're almost at 500, so maybe they look at it like they could have a little something there. I don't see it with the Tigers.
Either do I.
But if they can get Jonathan Scope for not a lot, which I don't think he would cost, you get a guy who mashes lefties, plays multiple positions. He can play first base. He can play second base. He'd be a great bat off the bench. And oh, by the way, he's like best buddies with Manny Machado.
He's had an amazing year. He has all the time in Baltimore, obviously. I think it's a great call, by the way. Even with the Tigers' winning streak, they're 8.5 games out of a wild card spot, and they'd have to go through, obviously, multiple teams. The Tigers' front office realizes there is not a real path to the postseason, barring one of the more remarkable runs in baseball history. I mean, they're going to have to go 20-2 over a 22-game stretch to really put themselves in the conversation with the Tampas and the Oaklands and maybe a New York Yankees or the Seattle Mariners to get back into that wild card conversation. I think Scope is a great name. I think there's a reason Gallo has been tied to AJ Preller and the Padres. I think if there's smoke there, there's fire. The problem with Gallo is since the crackdown, he's had his best numbers. People say, isn't that a good thing? Well, it is a good thing, but all of baseball sees it. The Rangers know it, and there's a premium for him. And isn't Gallo under contract for 2022? It's not a rental, right? You get one more year?
No, he's not a rental.
So the price tag for Gallo goes up in that scenario as well. So maybe they'll put their chips in that direction, but if they can't acquire him, you're right. You need to look at other options, and Jonathan Scope is a really good name to consider. Okay, let's get to the text line. 70470, started with XTRA. Again, 70470, started with XTRA. 602 wants to know, John, do you want Mitch Moreland back?
You want Mitch Moreland for, like, everything.
I mean, I wanted Mitch Moreland at like my wedding. Do I want Mitch Moreland back? First of all, so Mitch Moreland this year, sitting .238 with 7 home runs and 24 RBIs, only has 172 ABs. I'd like to see his splits.
I think that was a failed experiment.
I don't think he's coming back. No. 951. What do you guys think would be realistic and real pieces the Pods and AJ Preller could get? Well, you just mentioned Scope. Mm-hmm. I'll throw out some pitching names that I think are all realistic. You've heard them all, from Tyler Anderson with Pittsburgh to John Gray with Colorado to Zach Davies, who was here a year ago with the Cubs, to Kyle Gibson in Texas. I think it gets more challenging with Jose Barrios of the Twins, who's an ace-like pitcher who's under control. I think it gets a lot more challenging with the Max Scherzer, especially with the state of the NL East. Give me another pitching name or two. Craig Kimbrell? I mean, what's realistic?
I think you named all of them.
Yeah,
right,
I think
there.
I hit on a lot.
And I'm sure there's maybe like one or two more that we're not even thinking about. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the top tier of pitchers that I think we want AJ Preller to trade for or make a move for, you just named off all of them right there. So, yeah, I think that list, you could pluck one or two of those guys off that list. That's a win.
Yeah, I'm not looking. Here's me personally. I'm not looking for the next Yu Darvish or Mike Clevinger when he was healthy to come over in the next week. I'm looking for quality, quantity, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not looking for Max Scherzer necessarily. I mean, you would take him, but you don't want to throw your entire system out of whack to do it. And I don't even know if you can do it. I would take a collection of starters if you can do that, a pair of them. Kyle Gibson, you can plug into the middle of your rotation, and John Gray, who you can plug into the middle of your rotation. I think that would be a win, and a big win, potentially for AJ Preller. This from the 951. Larry Joe here. I think tonight's game went according to the game plan. You know what's not cool? Getting hits with runners in scoring position, scoring as many runs as you can without a hit is cool. Scoring just enough runs to keep the opponent within a bloop and a blast from taking a lead, but make sure you have the lead at the end of the game. Mission accomplished. Now that's Padres baseball. And then in parentheses, this is all sarcastic frustration, of course. But how frustrated can you really be, Larry Joe, when the Padres win the baseball game?
That's the most important thing.
Good teams actually are teams that actually win these games. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would be troubling if you lose games like this.
When you're on the road, get it done at any cost. It does not matter. Like, if this team won 112 games, but they're the worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position, would you honestly be upset?
It's hard to be upset when you win.
Exactly.
And like you said, on the road, what are they, 500 this year?
I think maybe they're a game over, maybe.
Yeah. So, you know, they're winning coin flip percentage of the time. 858, 4 hours for 9 innings. Is that good torture, fellas? CM.
No, it's not, Callan. It's horrible torture. And
at least it's a win. This would be a tough show, a 3-2 loss tonight, or a 4-3 loss with all the chances.
The good thing about tonight's 4-hour game is it started at 4 o'clock.
Good point. If it started at 7 o'clock Pacific, we'd be on the air at midnight.
We'd be in a very bad mood.
760, hey guys, I want Preller to trade for a quote-unquote difference maker. We need some who can contribute in October. That's a frontline starter, a back end of the pen guy, or a big-time bat. I have no interest in a Zach Davies or a 4-5 starter. This team will be in the postseason and most likely in a one-game playoff. Let's win that game, go Friars. I think you can win that game without Max Scherzer. You have Yu Darvish.
Well, that was my point. Our last wrap-up show is that if this team is on a collision course with a one-game wild card, is Zach Davies or John Gray going to really help you win that game? No, they're not. The guy that's going to help you win that game is Max Scherzer, which would be very tough to pull off, or Craig Kimbrell. If you're in a situation where you're up by a run in the bottom of the ninth inning, if you're up at AT&T Park or at Dodger Stadium, are you fully trusting Mark Melancon on the mound? You might, and he might get the job done, and it might be great, but I would feel much more secure if you had Craig Kimbrell in the back of the bullpen to win that one-game wild card, mm-hmm. and then you move on, And then every game in the postseason, you need that like lockdown closer. And if Mark Melanson's going to, you know, be that guy for you, then so be it. But I would feel much more comfortable if that lockdown closer was Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. No, I think you said it very well. I mean, there's listen, if you can get Kimbrell, if you can get Berríos, if you can get Scherzer, don't get me wrong, you go get him. But if you can't get him, you got to look at the next possibilities. 650 says, what about Duffy from Kansas City? I like it. Well, first of all, he went on the IL.
Yeah.
Secondly, the Giants have serious interest. I've seen that report over today on my Twitter timeline. The Giants, despite the injury, and I forget what it is, maybe like an oblique, whatever it is, or a hip flexor. He's been on the IL a couple of times. His year is really good. Now, he's a veteran left-handed pitcher. He's 32 years of age. He's got like a mid 2.25, 2.6 ERA. He's had a very good year. I don't know what he would cost, but there's going to be multiple teams in on Danny Duffy because the reports are out of San Francisco that the Giants have interest in Duffy.
I'm so like intrigued by what Preller is going to do.
So am I.
Because you know he's going to do something. He just can't sit back and not do anything. I'd be shocked if he did not pull off at least two trades.
Do you have memories and flashbacks to the trade deadline show last year?
Yeah, it was chaos.
Complete chaos.
No idea what was going on.
Multiple trades while we were on the air.
It just, all of a sudden, it was like Clevinger, Nola, Austin Adams. Who else they got? They got Mitch Moreland. It was nuts.
It might have been our most listened to show of the year.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We were on the air, I think, over 2 hours. My wife was texting me, when are you coming home?
Yeah, I almost lost my girlfriend.
Right, and I almost lost my wife.
And your kid.
Right. But other than that, it was a pretty cool show.
Yeah, it was a great show.
So maybe we'll have something comparable. What's cool about this year's trade deadline is they put it on a Friday, not the weekend.
That Friday night.
Right. Everything will be closed down by the middle of the day Friday. Plus, Preller's probably making moves
is that when it happens?
I don't know when it is. 2 o'clock Eastern or 2 o'clock Pacific. Somewhere in the middle of the day Friday. It's over.
Darren's show will be the
I'm not sure the time. It's probably Darren's show. It's probably the middle of the day. But let's be honest. Do we think Preller's going to be waiting until the 30th to make his splash? It'll probably occur the 27th, 28th, 29th.
Yeah, I thought that he would be making a move this weekend. You got an off day on Monday. If you can make a trade this weekend, you can get this guy in here ready for the homestand starting next week. That would be my guess. But if Preller makes a move at like the literal trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised either.
He could do both. Right. He could do both.
He has an entire week to make trades.
2.5 over or under?
Over.
3 over or under or push?
Under. Push.
Push. So push. You think 3 trades.
I think 3.
I'm with you. And honestly, dude, if I had to go one way or another on 3, I'd go over. And right. I know I've been the guy that says they're not going to make a ton of moves. I'm not saying they'll be the biggest moves in baseball history, but he's going to make a few moves.
A few.
Not going to make 9.
No.
But he's going to make a few.
I don't think he's going to reshape a third of the roster like he did last year.
No, but three or four players on the major league roster?
Yeah, a pitcher, a couple bullpen arms, and maybe a bat.
He's asking his players at the All-Star game to court Nelson Cruz. He's making 3 or more trades.
Okay.
And this from the 760 was worried when the Marlins dude got hit in the head with the ball and they started rallying, but everything is okay in the world. And now I'm watching Ted Lasso. Chad, have you seen Ted Lasso?
I've seen a little bit of Ted Lasso. Awesome show. It's a soccer show, so I don't know if you would like
it. Yeah, but I'd be interested in it. I mean, that's just like the premise,
very funny,
right? Yeah.
So I'm a little jealous of him watching Ted Lasso right now.
Okay. Interesting.
And also listening to the wrap-up show.
All right, so we've got another wrap-up show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
There's a lot to get into. This Nelson Cruz thing, this is going to keep me up tonight.
I know it is. You're like, what's going on here?
The wheels are churning. I got things. I'm thinking, I mean, what is that? Just to put a bow on it for 60 seconds, what it means to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, Jim, and we're just talking kind of off the cuff here, is they're looking for power against left-handed pitching, and probably against left and right-handed pitching, but where they see a deficiency is against left-handed pitching. Would you agree?
Well, it shows kind of the mindset of where Preller's at. If he's looking at Nelson Cruz, you would think this dude's going to go big.
Yeah.
Go big. Before we get out of here, I have to say, at SD Fritz, I'm sorry.
What's that about?
That's all I got, man.
All right, you're sorry.
I'm sorry, Fritz.
Here are the totals in game one of a 4-game weekend series in South Florida against the Marlins. The Padres hold on and win it. 3 runs on 7 hits and no errors. San Diego here tonight was 2-for-13 with men in scoring position. They left 14 on base. Doesn't matter. They won the game. Marlins, 2 runs, 4 hits. That was it on one error. The Marlins
4 hours for four hits.
Marlins 1 for 11 with men in scoring position. They left on 7. Time of game tonight. 3 hours and 58 minutes.
Stupid.
Wasn't even 4 hours.
Four hits.
It cruised.
For four freaking hours.
Paid attendance.
Blast the Marlins
to
the moon.
Take a guess at the paid attendance.
75,000.
10,977. Oh, I thought it was a sellout. It was like the best crowd I've ever seen there.
Well, that park's like going to hold only 30,000.
10,977. Blake Snell threw it really well. Let's see if he can continue doing that. He's 4-3. His first road win since August 30th of last year. By the way, that was in Miami against the Marlins. He's 4-3. He goes
time
6
is a
innings.
Flat circle.
Allows 1 run, walks 3, strikes out 8. Mark Melancon, the save with a 1-2-3 ninth inning, his 29th on the year. Holloway, the loser, 2-3 on the year. Allowed 3 runs, only 2 earned in 3 2/3 innings in relief. We're back tomorrow night. 4:05 or 4:10 is the first pitch time in Miami. Joe Musgrove will be on the mound for the Padres against the Marlins. Can the Padres win 2 of the next 3 games this weekend and win this series? It will be Joe Musgrove, 5-7 with a 3.14 ERA on the mound, again, for the Padres on Friday evening. All right, as always, we will remind you, if you do not subscribe to the Wrap-Up Show on the free iHeartRadio app, you should. If you don't have the iHeartRadio app, download it. Search for the Wrap-Up Show with John Schaefer and Jim Russell. Click that follow or subscribe button. You will get future episodes automatically. If you miss it, you can listen back anytime. If you do not follow us on Twitter, you should. At John Schaefer, at JonSchaeffer, at Jim Russell SD, at Jim Russell SD. Wasn't easy, wasn't pretty, but the Padres have won again on the road. They hold on behind Blake Snell to beat the Marlins on Thursday night, 3-2. And for Jim Russell, I'm John Schaefer. You've been listening to the Wrap-Up Show on Extra.
You've been listening to the Wrap-Up Show. Listen after every game as we break down everything that happened and what's next on San Diego's home for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, the MLB postseason, and the World Series. Extra 1360.